And welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday. It's 107 right now. We've got fun things on the program today. We're returning Superfan segment, where we get a superfan to come on the program with us and ask us a bunch of questions. Should be a fun time. Steve Bellows joining us at 120.
He's who? Been,
Steve that Bellows.
Name sounds familiar.
Yeah, this one's for you, Steve. Steve is appreciates the goat, so we'll give him a goat for being the goat. Bridget, what's going on today? How are you?
Fabulous. So just remember, there are a lot of red flag warnings out there, folks. It's really dry.
Yes,
careful.
Yes, it's dry.
I've run into a lot of red flags in my life and never listened. So you should listen to this red flag. Is that what you're saying?
I just started listening to my red flags.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, with all of the potential fire danger out there, and we got a lot of harvest going on, just be cautious. Last night when I came home at dusk, man, talk about combines and trucks out taking corn out of the field. It's been a busy week already.
My buddy just wrapped up beets.
Nice.
They've been going nonstop for, I don't know, for a while now. And they just wrapped up. I'm pretty sure they're done. I think they still actually do have some other things to pick up off the ground, but beets are done.
Yeah, I was reading an article.
You read?
It's not only dry occasionally.
Wow.
Or it's picture book, one or the other.
Well,
but
that's looking. Yeah, that's pictures are good.
Yeah. So I was reading an article that it's not only dry here, but down into the all the way into the central and southern plains, and a combine combusted down in Nebraska, and I don't know how many thousands of acres it burned down there. So it is that dry, no doubt.
And with some of the wind conditions, it's just hard to keep up once those sparks start and keep things moving without causing a problem.
Yep. So just check on your bearings.
Yeah, and you know, there's lots of times where folks want to burn garbage, leaves, etc. This is not the time. But
today and tomorrow are not the day to do that.
And isn't it supposed to warm up? And will the wind die down? And is it going to rain?
Yes,
and maybe.
Yes. Did we just hit the trifecta?
It was pretty. It might be. It might be a triple yes.
Where's my rain? Dean.
Yeah, I don't know, Parker.
It is dry.
Yeah, it's somewhere.
It is dry. It's a windy one out there. We have
windy.
We've got winds gusting over 30 right now. Temperatures in the 50s to low 60s in the southern valley, and a little cooler 50s west and in the northern valley. We'll warm up into the mid 60s today with a south wind gusting over 30 at times. Clear skies, not as chilly tonight, mid 40s with south winds 10 to 25. And even windier tomorrow. Winds gusting between 30 and 40 tomorrow, and highs in the mid 70s.
I just thought I'd give you the wind sound effects. I'm here to help.
That's how windy.
She's always here to help.
She helps every day.
And then clouds increase Friday. We'll probably see some scattered rain showers coming in afternoon onward. We're not looking at a lot out of this. Models are trying to pump out a little bit more than the previous few days, but nothing widespread.
Yeah.
Nothing widespread. And the weekend right now looks nice. Mild 60s and 70s.
I like that. Sounds like a beautiful weekend.
It does.
What are you doing this weekend, Dean?
Let's see.
Bridget, what are you doing?
Watching football, starting early on Saturday, 11:30. And then,
go Queens.
Are they playing? That's Sunday.
Well, that's the weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. Sunday.
Okay.
Go Queens.
Two more days.
A lot of Viking fans out there that are just so concerned about what that season's going to be like.
Yeah. We got a Bears guy over here. Hey, how are the Bears doing?
Very well. 4-2.
Look at that.
It's actually that whole division.
Bears.
Yeah, the whole division's doing good.
You know what 4-2 isn't?
The Vikings?
5-0. It's also not 5-1, even if we lose.
Who are they playing?
They're playing a good team. Except their good guy just went out with a broken leg.
What team?
Lions. The Lions.
That's in Detroit, too.
I think it is in Detroit.
Ooh. That should be a good one.
Yeah, indeed it will. Bridget, what are your plans?
Is this sports show or is this weather and ag?
You know what? It's weather and ag unfocused, all right?
Okay.
We can have some unstructuredness.
Okay.
Which you're just supposed to, it's improv. You're just supposed to go with it, man.
So if you, I don't know if you want to repeat that for the third time, but yeah, I'm watching football. I will be at the NDSU game on Saturday night.
Right on. Who are they playing?
South Dakota State University.
Oh.
So tailgating.
And
so tailgating in the afternoon.
There's a party. Here's Bridget in her blender. Glad she could make it.
Right. That's the one.
So Bridget, I was we were there last, was it last weekend or the weekend before? Their last home game.
2 weeks ago for the last home game.
Yeah, the last home game. And we stopped down at one of the tailgates we were invited to. And you might know the individual, but he makes his own pizza out there.
Really?
If you know who I'm talking about. And
does he make a lot of them?
He was making them one after the other.
Oh, right on.
And, you know, he kneads the dough out there, puts all everything on it.
Sounds like a good time.
Wood fire pizza. It was some of the best pizza I think I've had. Do you know who I'm talking about, Bridget?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's he had an amazing.
Certain tailgate spots have certain things all the time. So you kind of know the route.
Have you had, you've had the pizza before, I'm guessing. Oh, so good. So I told him he should sell it in the store. I mean, it was that good.
Yeah, but then you got to freeze it. You lose quality there.
Then you got to run a commercial kitchen requirement and such.
Right.
The rest of us, I mean, believe me, this is a lot of picnicking. I mean, we're not completely terrible about keeping things neat and tidy, but also it's tailgating and there's not as much concern as one might think there should be.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Five-second rule applies.
Yeah, that's all right. As I mentioned, we got some fun things coming up on the show today. Today is Wednesday, right? Yeah, Steve Bello is joining us. He's a super fan out of New Jersey. Steve is going to be joining us, asking us all sorts of different questions about weather and ag. And, well, we encourage you to do the same exact thing. Give us a call. If you don't know the number by now, I'm going to tell it to you again. It's 701-293-9000. Or you can reach us via email, weatherorag@flagfamily.com. Those live streams available as well with a comment box. They're on Facebook, YouTube Live, and we'll stream on Acres TV. A couple of ag topics we'll get to through the course of our hour in between our guest and our regular shenanigans is how many corn acres do you need to buy a tractor? Bridget, that sentence sounded all sorts of broken in my head when I said it. How many corn acres do you need to buy a tractor?
Right. How many acres of corn do you need to raise to have the capital to buy a tractor?
There we
go. That doesn't mean that you have sorted out all of your input costs and then what's your net off those acres.
See, what I was thinking is
you were looking at gross dollars.
What I was thinking was how many acres you need before you should consider buying a tractor.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, I'd think of anything over 100 by 100 foot garden. So 1 acre or more, probably buy a tractor, man. Like, this just sounds broken.
So if you remember when we were in the field last week, we had a couple of tractors on grain carts out there. And there was one that was a little bit smaller. And I would probably say he was somewhere close to or shortly over the 200 horsepower range. And for a tractor of that size, you'd be looking at about 350 acres of corn. Then additionally, there was a larger tractor, the one that I was in with the tracks on it, that was pulling a grain cart. And that one does 300 horsepower or more, and that you're going to need about 450 acres in order to be able to afford that tractor.
Wow.
Now, we're talking cash flow.
Oh, yeah.
Now, speaking of acres, Greg called in late in the day yesterday with a question. Mm. He wanted to know how many gallons, not bushels, but how many gallons we thought Dean was going to get off of our Here We Grow project. And honestly, I kind of have an answer for that. So if you're thinking about whiskey, you need about 10 pounds of corn to transfer that into six one-fifth size gallons of whiskey because our friends down at Flyover Whiskey in Nebraska
We got 10 pounds of corn.
It equals a fifth of whiskey?
Yeah.
Or it's 1 gallon.
Six fifths.
So a little more than a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
1.2 gallons, and, Dean.
And if you were doing that in state, you'd talk to Red Pine Distillery in Grand Forks.
I see. And how many pounds of corn is in a bushel?
You're usually, I think people are talking about a 60 pound right now. Is that what we're talking
60
about?
60 pounds for a bushel. So I just so happen to
somebody's probably rolling their eyes at me.
Yeah, well, we're just going to go out there and say, why don't we just do 50? Let's just say 50 and be safe. All right, so 50 pounds a bushel. So I happen to know, and I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to
that's a lot of whiskey.
Yeah, okay, so 56 was the right answer. I was high when I said 60. It's 56 pounds of corn equals one bushel.
Okay, so based on my math here.
But I did hear some 60 this year.
And we lowballed.
Right.
Dean, you are going to get approximately...
liver failure?
Full-blown organ failure.
Full-blown organ failure.
Like almost 94 gallons of whiskey.
Wow. Well, I can start my own hooch farm.
There you
Sweet.
Go.
I'm liking this idea.
All right. Dean, you're going to start sounding like this.
Humum hum on kuna pakawa.
Oh, man. I think it's time we head to the American
Ag Network.
Are you
sure you want to do that?
I think it's a good idea. When we come back, oh, man.
That's a perfect lead-in for our guest.
Right?
It sure
and
is.
Who's our guest coming up, Bridget? We can see he's already on our streamline.
Justin already introduced him. Yeah. We have Steve Bellow. He's our super fan from New Jersey. Steve actually is a music teacher and a heavy metal guitarist. So why wouldn't we use that intro music for him?
Right?
Well, yes, we will. So
sure will. This
we'll
one's
be right
for
back
you, Steve.
With Steve.
There's your daily dose of some heavy metal brought to you by Doom Eternal on every console and PlayStation everywhere.
I thought we were on Jay's show. This intro to Jay's show.
This is a heavy song. Really good one though. I like it.
Yeah,
Steve, how do you like the sound?
I've actually taught that to a couple of students.
Have you really?
Awesome.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
Problem is, it's done on an 8-string guitar, so I have to improvise.
Why are there 8 strings and only 4 fingers?
Yeah. Well, I play a 7, so I'm the odd man out now.
Yeah, I've just got a standard 6-string and then a 4-string bass, so I ain't got nothing fancy over here, but I like to thrash a little bit when I can.
Thrashing is good.
That's outside of Guitar Hero.
Yeah, it's a little past Guitar Hero. It's just anything in drop D or lower.
So Steve is as Bridget said earlier, Steve's a music teacher. He's a musician, a rock enthusiast, and Steve's one of our super guests, super listeners, I guess you could say. Steve, curious as to so you're out in New Jersey, is that correct?
Yeah, and you'll make it sound like it's like a big thing, like New Jersey.
Yeah,
Jersey.
Just a little.
You're out there.
There's just a little.
I'm just saying, like, you know, I mean, I'm not picking on you guys at all. I think it's hysterical. You'll have guests. You'll say, oh, so-and-so from Iowa, so-and-so from Texas, New Jersey.
Yeah.
You should see how we treat our Canadian guests.
Oh, yeah.
Knows Bon Jovi.
International. You
know? And I think, the reason for that, Steve, is, I mean, you're out of our general listening area. How did you find us? And you're all the way on the East Coast, and you're listening to a Weather and Ag show in the Northern Plains. How in the world did you stumble across us?
Well, I'm less nervous now than I was back in June, so I can go a little more into detail.
Right.
I was on Twitter, and I saw this post by this person, Bridget, and it said something about having a dose of happiness. Everybody needs it in their lives, and I just commented, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we just struck up a conversation, simple as that. And we just started chatting a little bit here and there. And again, like she mentioned in the last episode that we did that, you know, we just have a lot in common as far as the passions that we share. You know, we come from two completely different worlds, but you can fuse them together. And I guess in some cosmic way and just say, hey, you know what? As long as you love what you do, it's not work.
But that, you know how true that is? That is true.
Uh-huh.
That is absolutely. Yeah. Yep. And you're a music teacher. What do you teach at a local college, high school, or do you have your own studio that you teach in?
I'm not that smart.
Yeah. I don't know. You got an eight string.
I got sevens. I got sixes and sevens. Oh, I did try an eight, but yeah.
Four fingers.
I teach at a music store in town. I teach at a music store in town a couple nights a week called Music and Arts. And it's a chain. And I also teach privately a couple nights a week. And yeah, you know, that's all I do is teach. You know, I had office jobs. I had retail experience. And it had its moments, but teaching is where I truly belong. And my students love seeing me, you know, and I just have a blast. You know, they challenge me. I challenge them. We have a great time.
Yeah, right on. That's super cool.
That's cool.
And now Steve learns more and more all the time from us and his newfound home on Ag Twitter, learning all he can about farming.
Well, one of my favorite quotes from Steve last time he was on with us was, yeah, now when I go to the store and I look at broccoli, I don't look at it the same thanks to you guys.
But, you know, it doesn't work in a restaurant. You can't just tell the waitress, well, you know, let me tell you about this asparagus from, you know, they just don't care. It's not a good pickup line. I learned that the hard way.
Oh, man.
And where Steve is at, you know, really New Jersey is known as the Garden State. There's a lot of produce grown out there on the East Coast. So, honestly, you know, you're not that far from an agricultural background.
No, I mean, even like just one town over, I live in Ramsey. Yeah, you know, one town over, Mahwah, there's a farm. It's not as what you guys have over there, but it's pretty cool. And I know I mentioned the last time, if you go down to Frenchtown, there's a beautiful farm, you know, because there was a club I played down there a couple of summers ago. And, you know, when you go into the really rural areas, I can never say that word for some reason. Rural. There we go.
That's all right. Someone at our place here that we work with can't say cinnamon.
That's one of the worst of the same, right?
Yeah, cinnamon.
But yeah, I mean, there's some great agriculture here. And yes, honestly, I have learned a lot. I really have. And, you know, I know Bridget's been super busy on the road. That's actually one of the questions I'm going to have in a few minutes. But what I'm learning from all of this is that, you know, I mean, I did half joke about, you know, what the hell's wrong with me when I look at corn in ShopRite. You know, people just kind of stare at me and go, why is he quizzing corn?
If only people knew your backstory, man.
Well, outside of all this, I'm a pretty dull person. So,
So Steve, you said you have questions for us. What do you want to know about? Yes. Well, you know Bridget pretty well. I mean, obviously, from Twitter. But what other questions you got?
I'll start with you guys with the weather side of things. We had the two hurricanes, not that long ago, and I have friends that live down in Florida, and they show me some pretty wacky stuff, tornadoes. They couldn't even open their door. You know, my friend Mike, we used to be in a band together 100 years ago. He's just like, check this out. I can't even open my front door. It was that powerful. So did the LRC predict these months in advance?
It did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely did. And Gary had he had a couple articles about it on the well, look at me now. I can't
spit it out, Cinnamon.
Cinnamon. Developmental.
Red and orange.
red and orange.
Take that, Dean.
I told you I'm on to you.
let's see if we can get that in here real quick.
I got Bridget finally.
What colors mix?
I got Bridget finally. I win this
red and orange.
Super name tag.
Oh, that's great.
I love it.
I finally got my wish.
Now, if for those of you who don't watch us on the live streams, you might not have an idea of what that bit is, but on the live streams, we like to dink around a lot on and off camera, and even sometimes when we have guests in the studio, sometimes in the studio, but sometimes when they're remotely connected, We'll see if the other people can keep it together. Well, one day I made Bridget just completely lose it with a U.S. councilman or councilwoman. Yeah. It's like, I feel so bad, but this feels so right.
Oh, yes.
And it was about a
name tag. Had a farmer on. We had a farmer on from Valley City who's on the U.S. soybean board. And that poor guy, poor Matt, because I had a name tag on for whatever event I was at. So Justin made one out of a post-it note. And now Steve's got one out of a giant sheet of paper. And I'm supposed to not laugh it's out yellow. Loud at all of you guys.
That's a huge name tag. So, yeah,
okay,
Steve.
Where were we before that happened?
So Gary did have these, as Justin
the
said.
The LRC, the hurricane.
Yeah, there so he had these in March. So he predicted both Helene, Milton, and then the one that hit Louisiana. He had all those, I believe it was Burl. He had all three of those predicted, and I believe it was Hurricane Helene he had predicted to, all. I think it was to the exact day, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, where it was supposed to make landfall.
He said it would land in the Big Bend area of Florida. So, you know, it's just, again, we can't say enough about the LRC and how accurate it is. Is it 100% no? But boy,
I don't know about man, is it better than anything else out there?
It's better than anything else that can long-term forecast out there. And I'll tell you what, it continues to grow, and we all continue to learn more about it. Mm-hmm. So, So short answer is yes, he did have those in the Gulf, predicted.
How many months in advance?
Back in March.
March it was forecasted, yep. And then it was updated in June. The specific day that it was most likely to hit, and it hit on that day too, 4 months later, however many months later that is.
Well, Dean, you had mentioned, you know, is it 100% accurate? No. Was there ever a moment where it was not totally off, but where it was like, 50%, you know, it was kind of shaky, or is it really that good?
We've had a couple of instances up here mm-hmm. where we were supposed to get hit. And it just totally missed us.
It was there,
but it went either south or north, like well south or well north.
Yeah.
But it was in our area. It just totally missed us.
It just didn't materialize into anything. So I think we were expecting a week where it was going to be pretty wet, and it was just dry, and it's been dry for a few weeks now as the pattern is broken.
That was
down.
the end of September. Yeah,
end
I believe it was that third week. Was it August
I
or
don't
September?
Know,
it was either the end
I think
of August
it was September.
Or no, it was end of September. The LRC had us in a very wet period, and it just never materialized. Yeah. And that was one of the bigger misses that I remember.
Yeah, that was.
It's one of the few.
Miss.
It's one of the few. Yeah.
All right. Wow. Steve. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
It is. Well, I know you've got a lot more questions for us, but we got to hit bottom of the hour break. If anyone listening, you got questions for us or Steve as well, feel free to email those to us or phone us on the Red Wing Shoe phone line, 701-293-9000. We'll catch up with bottom of the hour news and be right back.
And that feels wildly appropriate, but it could be a crazy train. Welcome back to Weather and Ag and Focus. Really glad that you're all here this afternoon and that our guest is super fan Steve Bello. He's from New Jersey, really a heavy metal kind of guy. And I don't just mean farm equipment, but he's here today and that's why our music is so good. Mm-hmm. Plus, we had a big thumbs up from Naomi Orr. She's right here in the Fargo area, and Naomi has also been on the show with us before, too, so she's happily listening
she's awesome.
To the questions Steve's got for us. Yeah, she's great. want to put a plug in for North Dakota Sweet Crude. Don't forget that they have some upcoming taste testings, like next week, the 24th. They'll be at Happy Harry's in Grand Forks, and the next day on the 25th in Holly Liquors. And this is a great fall drink if you are looking for a liqueur to have after a great day of hunting, at tailgating for football or other places, check them out. And don't forget to go to crudespirits.com. Steve was also excited when I said, if you need a backup phone number to call if things aren't going well, he got the phone number to the Red Wing Shoe line at 701-293-9000. He says, I have the keys to the kingdom. I get to call. All right. And said, you can.
Well, wait till we give him your personal cell phone number. Then he's got, you know, in case our line is busy, he can just buzz you.
I think he's got it.
Okay.
Okay, Steve, you have questions for us. What other questions would you like to check out?
All right. Now I'm going to turn my attention to you, Bridget. You've obviously visited many farms in the United States. Have you ever visited any farms outside of the United States?
Does Canada count? Can I be in North America?
I'll give that a yes, but I was thinking, like you mentioned Brazil, you know, the farming in Brazil. And I don't know if you've gone that far, but have you ever had a desire to go?
I haven't crossed the equator yet. So I haven't hit South America to see some of the production that we have in Brazil, Uruguay, Paraguay, et cetera. Probably the furthest south I can say is being on research farms in Puerto Rico, because folks may not be aware that there is a tremendous amount of corn research over the winter months that happens in Puerto Rico and Hawaii for most major corn seed production companies in the U.S. and had a chance to see some of those. But that's the furthest I've got. Would I like to go? Yes, but I'd also like to see some of the European agriculture, just the very vertically integrated and highly intensive agriculture in short acreage, in small acreage.
Like what parts of Europe?
So I just had a story, I think it was on Monday, where we talked about the Irish dairy farmers and the real pressure that they have from the European Union to change because of how they farm. They're actually very regenerative because they continue to use their manure back into their pastures and their fields, et cetera. But the EU essentially wants to just cut back in the number of farmers they have by the year 2030. And farmers are resisting and saying, if you gave us a more usable timeline, we could comply with what you want, but we can't quite do it that fast. And they stand across Europe to lose roughly 30% of their farms by 2030 is the way the mandates stand right now.
Wow. I thought for sure she'd say grape farms where they turn it into wine, but I guess I was wrong. For sure that'd be the answer.
If you ever come to New Jersey, we got some farms here, and I can introduce you to some great pizza. I know all the hot spots. Pizza stop. Speaking of growing things, obviously you've been doing corn. That seems to be, forgive me for putting it like this, more successful than when you did soybeans. You can correct me. It's totally fine. But what's the easiest to grow and the hardest to grow?
Oh, good question.
Okay, so this is purely biased of my opinion. One of the easiest things to grow in this region is probably wheat, because we just have such a conducive climate for it, and it fits our growing season extremely well. Years like this year, we can have highly successful yields. We do have to be cognizant of some of the heading diseases that we can get, but overall, I just really like to raise wheat. I like that as a crop. If I had to pick something different that's a lot more management intensive, sugar beets is certainly intensive, but I still like that one. And there's some real specialties like dry edible beans can be more troublesome. But overall, if we can try to grow it, I mean, Justin can probably grow it in his garden as well as on a small scale, as well as some folks do on large commercial scales.
But I also noticed, the corn just seemed to sprout. I mean, it seemed like you just planted it yesterday, and then there was a video of you, you know, where you popped out of the cornfields, and
yeah, we got.
You know, I guess the joke is we can call you a stalker, but
there you go.
Love it.
Thank you, Charles DeVille. I knew I was waiting for that.
You got yourself a rim shot, Steve, and the goat today.
How fast did that corn grow? I mean, it looked like it was overnight. It just sprouted.
When it was going at over an inch a day.
Yep.
Wow.
Was it an inch a day? Or was it more than that?
About an inch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cruising.
And when you look at, we were on some well-tilled black soils. So with that nice warm sunshine coming into it, as soon as it got the opportunity to pop out of the ground and go, it really took off this year.
Imagine if it wasn't
were certainly
cold and
challenging
wet this spring.
Moisture. Right, exactly what I was thinking.
We would have had super corn.
Actually, so Justin, keeping in line with talking about the corn, you did the video where you spray paint or something to measure. What exactly were you doing there?
So it's a very easy way to see how much your corn is growing. If you just take a stalk and you spray paint the whole thing red, and you come back the next day or a couple days later, well, you don't have to remember how high or big the corn was. You just look to see what's green, and whatever is green is new growth.
Oh, wow.
So that's how we did that. Well, I don't think that particular... Well, I think it stunts it a little bit, but it definitely outgrows the paint, yeah.
Yeah,
so if it does. I grows up pretty fast. Corn, I'll know where it came from. Yeah. Like, Dustin, I swear.
I
you know, now I have an excuse to go to North Dakota.
There you go.
All right. So something I should have asked the first time around, but there's always a second chance to make a first impression. How long has the WAG show been around? I mean, how did it get started?
Oh, how long have we been doing this?
Three?
I think we're going on 3 years.
Bridget?
It'll be three in the spring. I remember the very first week that we did this show was after we had a major blizzard in April of 22 out in Western North Dakota, because I called up some friends out there and said, let's talk about that on air. And that was like our first week.
I remember that because that was the first time I met you, Bridget, and we're sitting in the studio and I'm like fresh into radio. I'm like, oh God, don't say something stupid. Don't say something stupid. Opens the show. Oh, I said something stupid. But we just started live streaming it a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Right. Right. And wow. When Steve said, how did it come to be? At the time, I think our operations manager just basically emailed all of us and said, so the three of you are going to have a show now.
Oh, we are.
We are. Are you sure about that? It's not going to be any extra work at all, I promise.
Yeah.
it's not for you guys.
Well, no, you carry the load. We all know that.
Me and Dean make up a third, and you make up the other two thirds.
Yeah. I
was kidding, but
we weren't.
Oh no, no, that's been a you carry this.
We
show.
Ride your coattails. Trust us.
Have you ever listened to the show before? Every once in a while, me and Dean will get a good day, but
yeah. There's a blizzard.
Like that first segment, that was probably the best we've done in the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
All right. Do I have time for one more? I don't know if you got it.
Oh, you got time, Steve. Yeah, you're good.
Nicole, okay, go right ahead.
I'm going to give Bridget the credit for this question, because when she said, you want to come back on the air, I said, can you give me a couple of questions just to fuel things, and I'll just take it from there. Since you mentioned, you know, heavy metals, why do combines catch fire?
Mm.
Okay.
Oh,
so
I got you.
When you think about, yeah. So when you think about all the moving parts from the header all the way through the machine, there is a lot of areas where there can be metal on metal, and they can have high stress points as well as high heat. So if you have bearings that might get warm, and then they're close to a piece of plastic, you can have that ignition. So many of our crops, especially this year when it's dry, very little humidity, have a tremendous amount of particulates and fines and dust. And that's actually all explosive or very easily flammable. And so there's multiple points within that machine where there's a potential for a combine fire. If you have a header strike a rock, creates a spark that hits the plant material, that's another point where it can happen. My claim to fame on combine fires was in high school. My brother and I were in the field together, and I was across the field on a swather. He was on the other side of the field with a combine, and I could radio him and say, there's flames dropping out the back end of your machine. Don't stop, because the wind kept everything blowing back and it wasn't getting any worse. So I had to take my machine to the end of the field, get a service pickup, drive up to him. We didn't have fire extinguishers in the pickup, but we had all the great pop that nobody drank out of the back of the cooler. So we shook up the cans and shot it into the compartment and put out the smoke and the flames till the fire department got there.
Now, that's
great pop. That's our best
situation.
That's our claim to fame on firefighting. Keep the pop handy.
Wow. Now, I have to actually, this wasn't a question I had on the list, but now you got me thinking. How many tons is a combine? Or how many pounds?
Oh.
I'm thinking tons.
Let's just generalize.
Catch fire like that.
Let's ask.
I feel like I'm doing that trivia thing like Addison does. Look.
Yeah, we'll ask AI right here. Here you go. Your 4420 John Deere is 8,200 pounds. Your John Deere 9760 is 31,000. Your Case 8240 is 42,500. Holy moly.
The newest John Deere's, the X9s, they are 23 tons.
Well, I think we got some that are bigger than that. New Holland's CR11 is 26 tons.
Yep, that's wow. CR11 was the newest one that was released because it's a Class 11 combine, so that is the biggest combine on the market now.
Wow.
So they're big.
That's seriously heavy machinery. That's like, how do you, I mean, you have to, obviously got to train to drive something like that. That's intense. That's like so heavy.
Do you somewhat get some
I think you just push the levers forward. They're kind of like, jumbo bobcats, honestly.
It's like GPS yeah. now, too.
They drive themselves.
Steve totally missed the opportunity, though, to say that that's a lot of heavy metal.
Yeah.
I can't have all the fun.
Do you have questions for Dean? Because I can't hardly wait to see him involved in this conversation.
Well, he asked about the LRC.
Well, do you have your Farmers Only account?
only if she's got a lake place
or a retention pond.
A retention pond works.
I got to be honest, Dean. I'm going to be really, really honest. That's still one of my favorite videos to replay.
Which one?
Because it's just so funny. The one with the what are you doing over there? I'm doing farm stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I
just think farmersonly.com.
What scares? I think I can recite the whole thing.
that's the videos hilarious. Steve is referencing are the seasons 1 and season 2 of Here We Grow on our YouTube. It's on our Facebook too, but it's most easily found on YouTube. Weather and Ag and Focus is our page, and then we have 2 seasons of Here We Grow. Last year it was soybeans. This year we're growing corn. You can follow along. There's probably about 40 episodes out between the two of them.
I forgot about that episode. Really thanks for the reminder, Steve.
How could you forget? My God, it's a classic.
I know, that was one of the classics.
What do you think of the one where Dean's arm is stuck inside the machine?
Okay.
Help, Bridget, help.
Yeah, wow. I mean,
we have a lot of fun.
I have to say, the acting was phenomenal.
Terrible.
You know, you gave Keanu Reeves a room for his money.
I did do a little time in Hollywood. It shows.
Yeah, it shows.
Yeah, I pictures myself one facing in this jail? Way, one facing that way.
In jail.
As a caterer?
As a caterer. Well,
he said a little time in Hollywood. I'm like, in jail? What?
Shh, no one's supposed to know about that. That was many years ago, Bridget.
Goodness. Steve, do you have kind of your last question? I'm going to quick message Addison and say, how much time do we have left?
We got a couple minutes.
Okay.
We can go until 1:53-ish.
Most of the time when I listen to your show, I'm in my car before I go teach, you know, because that's really the only opportune moment I could do it. Whenever you had Dr. Emily Fox on, you know, some of the stuff she comes out with is pretty wild.
Yeah. Now,
I'm going to be careful here. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. I don't want a lifetime ban from the WAG show.
We got a button.
But when she mentioned buttholes, how did you keep a straight face?
That's just how you check to see if the cow's pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's an anatomical thing, but.
For context, we were talking about several things with Dr. Emily that day. One of them was, yes, preg checking, where you literally have to lift the tail and reach in to feel. But also, she was talking about there can be calves that are born without all of their orifices. There might not actually be an opening for the anus under the tail that would lead to that digestive tract on that calf. And she said in that situation, maybe surgically you can help, but a lot of times that's a fatal genetic error in that calf.
Yeah. I
mean, and you're right. We had to keep straight faces. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I'm sitting in the car. I'm just like, thank God there was nobody around me. Because they'd be like, what the heck is he listening to?
Testicular frostbite was another fun one.
Oh, now I'm going to talk to you about cows now.
The frostbite on bulls was my Holy best moly. Day ever on the show.
Oh my God.
Usually they feel like this, but they just kind of turn purple.
I have to remember that one.
Holy. Emily,
now
this is
comedy hour.
Wow. Okay.
All right. We'll have to wrap up here now, Bridget.
Okay.
Oh, that's okay, Justin. Thank you. Steve said he's got one last one if he's going to do it quick.
All right, yeah.
Let it go, Steve.
Really quick. Have you ever had a guest that totally blew your mind and thought, oh my God, how are we going to top this?
Yes.
Well, you. After, right? I was just going to say, right today, I would have to say, out of the most unique guests that we've had would be Steve and Quick Dick McDick.
Yeah, those I would were pretty
say,
good.
I mean, all of our guests
get him and me on the same, you know.
Yeah, I mean, both very unique. So all of our guests that we have are really good. Yeah. And a lot of that, again, has to do with the people that Bridget knows and her connections. And
this is all Bridget.
Bridget.
Bridget carries this team,
you
guys.
You said two-thirds? It's a little. She's I think it might thirds. Be more than that.
We make up a third. She is two-thirds. You think she's three-fourths? We're a quarter?
So you're both a third of a third.
We're comic relief, and we tell you it's sunny out.
That's it.
There you go. Yeah, by the way, it's sunny and windy out today. All right, Steve, we appreciate you coming on here. Sorry to be short here. We're just running low on time.
No.
We'll have to do it again. All right, well, we'll get caught up here, and we'll see what we have left of the show. Addison, why don't you kick it out there? And welcome back to 20 Seconds of Weather and Ag in Focus. That was a fun segment there, Bridget. We'll have to get Steve and Naomi in here again, and maybe there's another super fan out there. I know that Dirk is a regular stream listener, so maybe Dirk wants to come on the program and ask our friend.
I hope they reach out.
Our friend John,
John.
John's annoying.
You mean John?
You looking for his sounder?
John?
Yeah, that John.
Yeah.
Frolicking through
the flowers. Have folks message me. It's awesome to have them come on.
Yep, absolutely. AG@flagfamily.com. That's the email address. We're out of here. Back tomorrow, probably. I don't know. Boss is looking at me weird. I got to go. Bye.
It's every day.